Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion and delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William DeMint, and we're going to be talking about his experience working on what they call the pile, the refuse that developed from the collapse of the Twin Towers in the months that followed the September 11, 2001 attack. So without further ado, William, thank you very much for being with us this evening.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
Well, why don't you just give our listeners a little bit of background. You were a lieutenant working within one of the divisions of the police force there, but give us the whole background of who you were before this occurred, what occurred at the time of the attack on the World Trade Center, and then not only what happened to you, but to thousands of the other people who worked there cleaning up certainly the debris following that, and why. Chris William has written a book called Delay, Deny, Hope They Die. You go ahead and pick up the story.
Okay, hello everybody, thanks for having me. My name is William F. DeMint. I'm a retired police lieutenant, New York City Police Department. I was a narcotics lieutenant commander. I served 20 years in the NYPD. A little about me, I have a wife and two children, they're 14 and 11, and I have a master's degree in management from NYU and a master's in education from Wagner College. On 9/11, I was in charge of a narcotics squad in New York City, but I was on vacation. I was in New Mexico, a town called Ruidoso, and I was building my retirement house. Just like everybody else, I watched it on television. I watched it go down, and I subsequently drove for 2 days straight at 100 miles an hour to get to ground zero. So I got in on Thursday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, actually 8 o'clock at night, until I finally got into the house. And my first tour of duty at ground zero was September 14th. It was a Friday, and I got there at 0500 hours, which is 5 a.m. in the morning.
Well, now, why would a lieutenant in the drug enforcement to be involved with what happened on September 11th?
Well, see, my base was in Manhattan South, which was, we covered everything from 59th Street South, and our base was a mile from Ground Zero on the East Side River. So we were the first ones that would be mobilized to that area. The truth is, with any mobilization of that magnitude of police officers, narcotics would go, internal affairs would go, all the other units other than patrol, and it would be just bare bones on police patrol.
But now, were you actively involved in the cleanup and taking care of the debris there?
Yes. On September 14th, when I got there at 5 o'clock, my first task was to be at the pit. We had to prevent firefighters from going into the pit. The mayor, Mayor Giuliani at the time, had told us that the rescue was over and it was just recovery of remains. By that time, the fire department wanted to get through, so they pushed to get through. It was only eight of us. It was 40 firefighters, so we let them through. I was subsequently deployed from the pit to go to the Marriott Hotel, and I was on the roof of the Marriott, which about 3 to 4 stories high, the rubble, and I was with the FBI taking body parts off the building. Hello, sir? Yes. Hello?
Okay, go right ahead. Now, you were saying that you were deployed, and you, how far away was the Marriott Hotel from the Twin Towers?
It was hard to tell with all the rubble because...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try Propax NT. Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's propax.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Body parts and debris is certainly several hundred yards away. Well, anyway, this is the story we're told. And then, of course, in the following day or two, certainly President Bush came, but basically there was no protection. There were no respirators, nothing to protect the lungs of the people who were cleaning up there. Do you think that they should have anticipated there might be complications from the intense dust that were there, that they should have done something to protect the workers who were cleaning up the debris?
They definitely should have had. They should have had the filter mask. They came down after a day or so with first, from what I understand, on September 11th, the only thing cops had and firefighters were wearing were bandanas. Then later on, it was paper filter masks. Then it was the N95 respirators, but there wasn't enough to go around. The other problem is none of them were fitted. According to OSHA, they're supposed to be fitted to each person wearing them. And so they get a tight fit. The other thing is they're supposed to change the filter every couple of hours. So there was all this dust. It was a grayish ash that we found out later had asbestos, dioxins. Now they're saying dioxins, benzene, lead, aluminum, which I have aluminum and lead poisoning, and a lot of other carcinogens. Now, what happened is they never changed the filters. and they didn't have enough masks for everybody at the first couple of days. So, and the other thing that there was no decontamination. We took, I had a take-home police car. I had all this grayish ash and dust all over my clothes. I brought it into the police car, the unmarked police car, and drove home with it, and I exposed my whole family, which my wife is an RN, and she said to me, she says, what are you bringing all that stuff in? I said, well, we just came right from work. So I had an 11-month-old daughter, my daughter named Jenna, who I named after President Bush when he came into office, after his daughter. She was exposed to all this dust, and so was my son, who was 2 years old at the time.
Well, does anybody ever question where the dust came from? If this was simply a pancake collapse, as we're told, you shouldn't have had the vaporization of the cement. That wouldn't be logical. You might crush the cement, but you wouldn't vaporize it. The dust obviously represented some sort of almost a vaporization of the cement, didn't it?
Well, it was a dustification. You know, I mean, it was just a dust. And the other question is, with all the buildings, I mean, you know, there was 107 stories. And hello, yeah,
go right ahead.
Oh, and what was left was 5, 6, 7 stories. You know, in different places of molten metal. You know what I'm saying? That was. And girders, and, you know, there was chunks of cement. But a lot of it, you know, for the mass, that was the question, where was everything? And the dust really, you know, was as they dug up the debris, they brought sand in. And as we walked over, the fires were burning for 6 weeks underground.
Why would those fires be burning for 6 weeks underground? Suddenly, I mean, what you ordinarily don't get fires burning for long periods of time with, suddenly a fire in a steel building. Did anybody think that was strange that there were fires burning for that length of time? Was there something else involved besides simply what we've been told? Certainly the fuel from the airplanes was long since been gone. What was basically burning down there? Do anybody know?
Well, I mean, we were told by the EPA under Christy Whitman, the air was safe to breathe. So that was the one lie that really got all the first responders sick, because we didn't have the proper protections. As far as everything else goes, I was the first responder into the World Trade Center in February of 93. We took some dust in, and there was a fire. Nobody, as far as I know, got really sick from there. You know, we weren't hacking away, and we didn't get sick for weeks or months or years after that. So that was my experience in 93 with the bombing of the World Trade Center. With this, I know just as much as everybody else. The question I have is, going on 10 years, why people are getting sicker and sicker. Some people are saying that we had all these other chemicals. There was chemicals in the exit signs. There was porcelain. There was porcelain bath fixtures that were, I guess, atomized by the pancake when the pancaking of the buildings occurred. That's what they said to us, what I've read. So there was all this dust and porcelain from the all the fixtures. Then there was the lead, the asbestos. From what I understand, it was laden with asbestos, and the building was obsolete. It was antiquated. So I don't know what was in there or what caused it, other than the official story of everything.
All right, fine. Well, then, how many people have gotten sick? How many people certainly were ill? My understanding is that we're dealing with thousands of people and more becoming ill all the time, and certainly that everything is being done to block compensation for the illness that came from breathing in the dust and debris that that was there, and was really dusty for a matter of several weeks or more after the attack, wasn't it?
Oh, for months. It was the dust. In October, I came down with a coughing fit, which I went to the police department surgeon, and I said, I got bronchitis. You know, I've had that a few times. She says, you don't have bronchitis, but I'll give you antibiotics. She says, you have what everybody else has. And I looked outside in the waiting room, and all these cops were bent over hacking, male and female. It was a deep smoker's course. They called it the World Trade Center course. She sent me to a pulmonologist several months later, and I saw him, and he x-rayed me and says, you got atelectasis, which is scarring of your alveoli of your lungs. He says it will probably dissipate over time. And he wrote a letter, basically, this gentleman's going to have what they're going to ultimately call World Trade Center Syndrome, which was rhinosinusitis, which is the sinus problems, the perpetual dripping. And from there, it turned into GERD, which is the gastroreflux disease, which, you know, with people on mild cases take Tums and things like that, antacids. But it got so bad with me and a lot of people, I wound up getting pre-cancer of the esophagus called Barrett's esophagus, which is it's kind of a rare pre-cancer, but everybody from down there seems to be a common occurrence. So people got this Barrett's esophagus, they got this World Trade Center cough, which was later on called reactive airway disease, or RADS, and that's from occupational asthma. But anyway, when all these things happened, the police department looked at me and other people, the police department doctors, and I also came down with sleep apnea, even though I wasn't obese at that point. And they said, well, you're disabled because of sleep apnea. And it wasn't listed on this World Trade Center presumption bill, the reactive airway disease and the esophageal problems and everything else was listed, the psychological problems, depression and PTSD. But they hung their hat on that, and they denied me and my friend Patriola, who subsequently developed kidney cancer. Then they said to him, he goes, you're cured. The doctor said, you're cured. He says, how am I cured? He says, well, they removed the kidney. So they denied him disability, and they threw him off the police department with 18 years of service. Luckily for me, I had my full pension, but I just was denied a tax-free disability. But this comes from the mayor's office down. Everybody's getting denied disability that under the law should be getting it. I was given Social Security disability for the same World Trade Center illnesses. And then when I told the police department, I said, how come you doctors are denying me? And they told me we have tougher standards than Social Security disability. So you got two sets of standards. And the other interesting is the World Trade Center monitoring at Mount Sinai. They wrote me letters attesting that I am disabled from all these ailments, the breathing problems, the gastro problems. I developed heavy metals poisoning, which is lead and aluminum, and associative cognitive effects. So, and still nothing. So that's how. Well,
basically, did this then affect your mind? You make cognitive. This suggests that your mind is not working fairly, and certainly we know that lead and aluminum would actually lead to cognitive defects. Have they tested you and found that you have high levels of aluminum and other metals?
Well, I was sluggish a few years ago, and I was having memory problems. I went to my psychiatrist for depression, and I told him, I said, could I get a test for lead, see if I have any kind of heavy metals poisoning? He says, by all means. I went to a chelation doctor, which is an IV, he uses IVs of chelation which is Latin for grab, to get rid of the heavy metals. And he says, he tested my urine, and after 24 hours, it's called a challenge test. It turned out that I have heavy metals, I have severe lead poisoning, and high aluminum poisoning. I then went for a neuropsychological exam, which is given by a psychologist. And the neuropsychologist gave me what accounted as an IQ test. So he says, your IQ is under 80. And I said, how could that be? I have two master's degrees. He goes, you had. I said, can I be a policeman, police officer? He says, you can't be a clerk at Walmart. He goes, you don't have the cognitive ability anymore. And from there, he says, your facial recognition processes was in the 5% range. That means that when I saw people I knew, I didn't recognize them at the stores. At Walmart, people that have been to my house. The other problem I was having is my recent memory. I don't remember things that happened in the 90s. There were people that have met me on Facebook, and I said, how do I know you? And they said, we dated. I don't remember anything about, not one date. One girl I went out with a couple of months off and on.
Well, now, have you gotten better since you had the chelation?
I'm making progress with the chelation.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, William, are there many of the people who actually work there on the Sydney, in the pile, as they call it, doing away with the debris?
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Would be, you know, 40,000 people maybe across the country. But there's people that came and helped out. There's volunteer fire departments from across the country and police officers from across the country that came and volunteered, went back to their respective jurisdictions, and now they're suffering. That's why in every state now, every state has a Centers of Excellence, which is a good thing. And that was, brought on by the over the last couple of years. So you can go for treatment, then you go for monitoring exams, which all started out in Long Island at the World Trade Center Monitoring and Hopodge. And through Mount Sinai. So this is all over the country now. Every state has one.
How many of them, do we have any idea, would have heavy metal poisoning and problems with their mind?
Okay, heavy metal poisoning. Now, I'm hearing more and more of that now. A lot of people just think they're having senior moments. What I understand, a friend of mine, Tom Quasnaza, Tommy's about 6'5". He was about 280 with a 34-inch waist, big bodybuilder years ago, one of the strongest police officers I know. He has something called stiff man's disease, which is a neurological disorder. His neurologist says, well, you have exposed to benzene. So the big as he is now, he needs a walker. He loses his balance and he falls. He fell a few months ago and detached his thigh from the bone. So he's recuperating now, but this is what's going on. He can't function anymore. Another guy, Tommy, that lives in he was one of my detectives. He lives in Florida. He has the Barrett's esophagus like I did, a pre-cancer. He's got the reactive airway disease, and he has some sort of chemically induced Lou Gehrig's disease where he has a walker and he's in a wheelchair. And from what he told me about a month ago, his wife just says, I'm tired of you being sick, and she left him. So
basically we start out with people have chronic sinusitis.
Right.
They have certainly a pulmonary disease, chronic pulmonary right. disease. They have chronic esophageal disease. Certainly, many of them have altered immune system manifested by the various tumors, whether they would be lymphomas or myelomas or various types of tumors. And remember, you get your tumors because your immune system isn't working, and you may have a predisposition. But once your immune system starts working, it stops working or functioning normally. And of course, then this can be brought about by heavy metal poisoning. This is one of the first things you should always think about. And because when William checked it out, he had very high levels of aluminum and lead. And they do this by challenging. You don't do this by testing the air. You do it by a urinary challenge and chelate, and then check the urine and find out what's happening. And so basically, of course, so many of the people, and we're talking 30,000 or 40,000 people, and of course, everything is being done to delay, deny, hope they die. In other words, that's the title of the book William has written about this. He's had severe effects as far as his mind is concerned, and this can be a direct result from the heavy metal poisoning. But, of course, there's an organized effort on the part of the government to deny people compensation for this tragic. It isn't just one or two cases. It's tens of thousands of cases. Tell us a little bit about your book and the story you tell in your book.
Well, I start out in the book. I give a little bit about my background, and I was adopted. My father was a New York City police sergeant. He was also a World War II vet, and he was at Pearl Harbor from 1936 to 1940 on the battleship California. His father was called Broadway Bill. He was a police officer. So I'm a third-generation police officer. I go into in the book about how I started narcotics, and before that I was in internal affairs. So I had a pristine record my whole police career just to go into narcotics and internal affairs. But I start out with the beginning of my exciting 7 months in narcotics leading up to that fateful day, which was 9/11, how I was on vacation and how my whole world changed. And all my detectives are getting sick from that now. And then I go into the delay from the city, the police department, telling people that they're sick. Oh, you're disabled. But now, well, that's not covered because they said everything is sleep apnea. I have spent $33,000 with two different attorneys. I'm in civil court right now fighting an Article 78. I was rejected. But the police pension section is complicit in this. Some of the unions, they didn't do much about it. Now they're getting on the cancer, which is at least it's good that they're fighting this because there seems to be cancer clusters developing now.
All right, hang on there. We're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest is William DeMint, and he's one of the survivors of the cleanup effort, but so many of them are ill.
Yeah. This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you have a chronic disease that has devastated your life? If you do, you should contact the Invita Clinics. Their therapies can reduce the devastating side effects of chronic fatigue, heart disease, Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, and other persistent illnesses. Their experienced team is committed to setting a new standard in patient care. They're dedicated to bringing you the best of what's available in cutting-edge medical science. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Or better yet, investigate their website at Invita.com. That's Envita.com. Or 866-830-4576. Invita. At 866-830-4576, Invita.com. People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
About his book, Delay, Deny, Hope They Die. William, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get your website, how they can get copies of your book?
Okay. The book is available on Amazon. It's also available on Barnes & Noble on the website. And you could also go to my website. It's www.delaydenyhopetheydie.com. And that's my website. You see me sitting there with an IV and my intravenous in my, which I do every week or every other week. I go for a intravenous to get rid of the heavy metals. And they could get it there. So it's www.delaydenyhopetheydie.com.
Now, does your doctor have any idea why you have these heavy metals? Where did they come from? Were they in the dust that you inhaled? Has he seen this in other victims of this condition?
Well, you know, he doesn't. He hasn't told me. One of my doctors says the whole toxic brew, you know, was like a drain cleaner. You know, all these chemicals, the lead and aluminum and the dioxins and everything else in those towers. And who knows really what was in it? I mean, you know. We're hearing about, you know, in those exit signs, there's some radioactive elements, tritium, and how many exit signs were in it? How many fluorescent light bulbs were in those buildings? I mean, and who else? What other chemicals were in there? So, in those buildings. So, and if they're, you know, What was on the planes? Was there any kind of, DU, depleted uranium on those planes? If somebody told me that. I haven't checked on that, whether the planes used depleted uranium for their engines. That I just heard about that. So really, we don't know, and they were testing. And the other question, was the air really truly safe to breathe, as the EPA said, or is everybody living in Manhattan, are they going to come down with more diseases? That's the questions I have. The other thing is...
there's been a great deal of criticism of the EPA, and Ms. Whitman, who was in charge of that, for saying that there was nothing to worry about, and I think that now, of course, they've come out and admitted that there was a great deal of contamination, and she misled the people working there, saying that it was perfectly safe, and it wasn't perfectly safe. Would that be a fair statement?
It sounds to me, it went over the line that it was criminal. I mean, to me, what she did and other people in the EPA. I mean, to me, there should have been something criminal about what they did. Because people are dying. Friends of mine died. In fact, Harry Smith, that died of kidney cancer that went to the bones. I worked day in and day out with him at the dumps. I worked with a guy named Dave. I'm not going to mention his last name. But he's about 10 years younger than me. He has colon cancer, stage 4. So, this is what the effects are. The other thing is, what about the guys having strokes? I have sleep apnea. I got high blood pressure now. I can't exercise because when I exercise, I have asthma attacks. So they put me on prednisone, which bloats you up and puts on more weight, which makes the apnea worse because apnea is when you stop breathing. And then the sleep apnea, the CPAP machine, doesn't work for us. So when am I going to drop dead of a heart attack? And they're going to say, well, he's middle-aged. He just dropped dead of a heart attack. One guy I know, Gary White, he was the head of the Police Aid Foundation. He had 2 or 3 strokes. He just had a stroke now that affected his whole side. He's only about 54, 55 years old. He was a bodybuilder and nutritionist his whole life in the police department. So the problem is, how many more people are going to get sick with all these other things that are going on? I know I had dinner a couple of years ago with a guy that had jaw cancer, had his whole jaw removed. We had a beautiful German sauerbraten. He had mashed potatoes. I don't even know if he's alive now, but he lost his jaw. Another guy had tongue cancer. Several guys had brain cancer. And then you have Detective Zadroga, who died of all these ailments, the breathing problems, and then the mayor turns around and says that he was a drug addict. Because they found foreign substances in his lungs, recreational drug use. Then they had a body. They had an Asian police officer. I can't think of his name right now. He died. It was related 9/11 cancer. The morgue, the medical examiner from New York City, got a court order and stole the body. Took the body out of the funeral home as this Asian's family. George Wong, I believe his name, police officer George Wong. They took his body and they took it back to the medical examiner and they changed the cause of death. They took off the 9/11 related cancer. And then they told the family you could pick up the body. So they had to pay to have the body brought back to the funeral home. What kind of world do we live in when the rule of law is denied by the police department, medical boards, and by the, disability rulings, and then they change everything. It's all about the ever-loving dollar. That's what it's about.
Well, you already believe there's an organized effort then to play down the liability on this because the charges, the expense to the city would be phenomenal, wouldn't it be, if they had to pay disability and medical claims for all these people who were damaged during the cleanup?
Well, exactly. But now I look at it like this. Just as a layman would look at it, I mean, I don't know legally. I wonder why is my claim denied when I have all these things that are listed in the bill. They find me disabled for sleep apnea. The other stuff, they never even commented. The police department never even commented about my heavy metal poisoning. But then I get involved with the Social Security disability. They found me disabled from all these World Trade Center related diseases. Then after that, the Warby lawsuit, 10,000 people sued the city. I was one of the litigants. There was tier 1 to tier 4. tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, tier 4. Tier 4 was the most severely affected. So I talked to one of the attorneys. I said, you know, am I making this up or am I a mental case? What is going on? How do I stand compared to everybody else? He says, you're an 8.6 to 8.7 out of 10. I said, so that's like an 86 or 87%. I said, how do I get an A, being a former teacher? He goes, when you get cancer, everybody's going to get sick down there. So basically, my question is, how could the police department deny me a tax-free disability pension when Social Security disability found me disabled, and I was in the highest tier on this Warby lawsuit where we just sued the city and won? And I received the settlement. That's what gets me. But the city is just denying everybody, from what I understand. 260 cops were giving disability, tax-free disability, from what I understand it, roughly. This is at 40,000 police officers. I believe the number with firefighters is 1,000 or so out of 8 or 9 or 10,000 firefighters. The firefighters get it at a more of a rate than the police officers. I understand they just fired the fire department medical board because they were giving out too much disability. I haven't confirmed that. I just heard that a couple of months ago. So this is a whitewash.
Well, now, what about the construction workers? Because, of course, most of the people I would think who are working there would have been, involved with it, simply cleaning up the girders. These would be steel workers, other people involved, certainly, taking the building apart. A large numbers of these are ill as well.
Well, yeah, they're all sick. Construction workers are sick. The iron workers are sick. There's a guy named John Feel. I believe he was an iron worker. He lost his a girder or something fell on his foot. Don't quote me on that, but he lost his foot, got severed. So he started the Feel Good organization, and I recommend that people get involved and support that. Feel, he's been helping all the police and firemen and first responders out, and iron workers, but they're all sick from this dust. Now, across the country, I would imagine that, you know, all these people that responded from across America, the only thing they could get is Social Security disability. But now these private firms that were part of the cleanup, they use undocumented workers. So, you know, if they, I hear reports of Mexicans that were undocumented, that were illegals, that are suffering and dying. So this is a huge problem with people. So it's just not cops and firemen and what about the Red Cross workers, the Salvation Army people that came and volunteered from across America? So there's thousands of people.
That well, now, how long did you actually work on the pile there on the debris?
I was there from September 14th until the end of December, and I had two jobs. Around mid-October, I started going down to the landfill in Staten Island. And that was another place where everybody got sick. But I would start my day there at around 6 o'clock, and around 9:30, after 3 hours, I would check on my troops and everything. I would put on, at least down there, after the first couple of weeks, they were smart. They stopped us taking our police cars into it, and they had buses, and they gave us hazmat suits. They gave us what they called the Tyvek suits. If anybody ever saw, like, the James Bond movie with the radiation Dr. No, I was just watching a couple of weeks ago, where it was just a coveralls and booties and gloves and a respirator, and that's what we wore as we raked through it.
Well, now, basically, Chris, were they looking for body parts? Were they looking for fragments of bone? Or were they looking for, you know, some element of the bodies? Apparently, there are almost 1,000 bodies that never found much of anything, nothing about it.
I'm glad you said that. It was a very interesting operation. The inspector in charge says, we want to give these 3,000 families or more, you know, we want to give them closure. So we're going to look for any bit of pieces of anything, and we're going to, anything that looks like body parts, rings, one detective, she recovered a hand, you know, and she literally had a meltdown. I don't think she was ever on the street. She was in internal affairs most of her career, so she had a meltdown when she saw that. She went frantic. But they had the FBI teams there, and they had conveyor belts, and they had stations where we raked through all the debris looking for anything, DNA evidence, clothing, fragments, And whatever we got, we put it together. And they did the same. I wasn't down there, but on Pier 79, I believe, on the east side at the morgue. So we're looking for any bit of body part, trying to find evidence and put all these parts together, sort of like Humpty Dumpty, trying to put it all together to give these families closure at the landfill.
Well, my understanding was there were about 1,000 bodies that they just never found much of anything at all. I mean, they just sort of vaporized or disappeared or something. Would that be a legitimate figure, do you think?
I wonder how many people really were in there. I mean, as far as, like you said, vaporized or, you know, atomized or gone. I mean, you know, and you look at this, maybe it's more. And, you know, then again, as if you had undocumented people, you know what I'm saying? It's how many people we just don't know about. I know just even with the mobilization with the fire department, you know, the fire trucks would go down there, and as they went through the neighborhoods, firemen would just jump on the trucks. So there was no accounting. They went down there and were helping out. So it was just, and you wonder about how many other people from downtown Manhattan ran to help. I mean, I know police officers that were in the courts ran over and helped, and that were involved. And one of my cops years ago, Jimmy Leahy, I believe he was in court that day. He ran over and helped, and he was taking people out of like the 20th or the 30th floor when the building came down. We lost him, you know. So that's most like when I was what they call mustered up, and I was on detail rosters, you know. Stating I was there, but you wonder about how many heroic people went in to help out that are gone, that aren't unaccounted for. And then again, the undocumented workers that came in. So you know, you just don't know. And as far as the, you know, the atomized bodies and the fragments and how many people, and then they put it down at the landfill. I grew up in Brooklyn and then Staten Island. The Staten Island Fresh Kills landfill was the worst, the biggest dump in the whole world. And it was people in the area had high rates of cancer before that. So just imagine we were down there, and then they dumped all this other junk. I mean, asbestos and lead. And
What did they do with all the dust? I mean, here you just had these magnificent, tremendous amounts of dust. Did they throw this into the water, into the ocean? What was in that dust? Do we know?
Well, some of the things that come in, it was just announced that dioxins were found in the dust and asbestos. They just, a 9/11 first responder just had his uniform tested. But, you know, lead, aluminum, silica, which is from the concrete dust and everything, which is very caustic to your lungs. Some people were saying the tritium from that, you know, all those exit signs with their which is a radioactive element. Then you have the porcelain from all the fixtures. Then you have all the. Then you look at all the computer stuff that goes on. I mean, what's in all these computer parts? You know, they have rare metals and things like that. Everything was atomized.
This is the thing. I had heard that a lot of the computers were sort of vaporized. That there wasn't an awful lot of the electronics left over. It sort of just all disappeared. Is that true? Did you find computers, complete computers?
Well, we found, you know, wires, and we found, you know, just fragments. There were plastics, melted plastics. But when you went there, you smelled the burnt flesh. It smelled like the burnt circuits, you know, the circuit motherboards and things like that, which I'm not a computer person. But yeah, it's the smell of burnt plastics and metal at the, you know, at the site. So, yeah, all that stuff, the whole question with all those copiers, and I wonder, you know, the people that with office products, I mean, you know, there's always chemicals in the copy machines. Think about it, the copy machines, you got the computers, you got, typewriters, you got phones, you got all these, all these electronic products.
Did you find them at all, or were they just little fragments? In other words,
fragments.
So the impression
fragments.
I got is that everything was sort of vaporized. It's certainly not what I would anticipate with simply a pancake sort of collapse, but something far more violent took place. Did anybody suggest that maybe there was more than just a pancake collapse?
Well, there's a lot of questions with all the, you know, people have put out a lot of different theories about things and about the, you know, the buildings. And some people are saying about the steel buildings have never come down, even though with the intense fires. And then the fires had burnt for underground for so long. And then you look at Building 7, you know, how that came down. I mean, why did that come down? But then again, I wasn't there. And at that time, you know, for the first couple of months, we were just busy. So I don't know what the answer is, but it doesn't make sense with the first responders, all the people getting sick. There has to be more to it than what they're letting on as far as what was down there. And that's what I'd like to point out, just for our own health.
Well, this, our guest is William Dement. His book, Delayed and I Hope They Die. Delayed and I Hope They Die. It's an excellent book. Gives you certainly the tragedy that's befallen these people. We don't talk about this much anymore. The people are still ill, but now they focus our attention on other issues. And, of course, we're not supposed to be thinking about today. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What's the message you'd like to leave with our listeners across America?
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protection of thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Good talking to you, and we'll be doing another program here in a week or so. Thanks so very much for being with us.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, and because the reason, Chris William wants to get a tax-exempt pension, you know, he gets a pension, but this certainly would cover his wife. He's a little over 50 years old. He is retired, but If he were to die, his wife and children would get no compensation. He has to pay for a great deal of his medical expenses on his own, and he's being chelated. And, of course, the whole idea is now that these men have certainly done their duty, they did what they were supposed to, they're being actively certainly deprived of the rights that have been given them by the law. There are laws written, there's certainly a law that was said that people who were disabled, who worked on the pile, would get this a tax-free retirement. But they're not getting it. They just absolutely refuse to abide by the law. So we have one set of laws for the common people, and then we have another set of laws for the elite. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what really happened on September 11th, what you really need to do is watch the DVDs put out by the engineers and architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. Just call 911, call our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And we suggest you purchase the DVD, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, a report they did. That's well over 1,300 architects and engineers who watched the building come down and said this was a controlled demolition. And if you certainly go to my website, readyliberty.com, to the section on other videos around the internet, and scroll to the bottom of the page, watch Building 7 come down. It's a controlled demolition. You notice the center of the roof comes down first. They do that. They take out the central supports so the walls will fall in. Then they destroy the base of the building and it falls at the speed of gravity. And they kill those people. They kill the people in the buildings because they wanted an excuse to get us into the war with Afghanistan and with Iraq. They lied to the American people about the weapons of mass destruction. President Bush lied. General Colin Powell lied about the weapons of mass destruction. The intelligence agencies said there weren't any, and they insist there were. And 1 million Iraqis and women and children died. We've destroyed Iraq. It's totally chaotic today, and it will only go from bad to worse when we pull out. But nobody's ever held responsible for lying to the American people. They lied about the Gulf of Tonkin incident to get us into the Vietnam War. 58,000 Americans died, but so did 1 million South Vietnamese and 2 million North Vietnamese. And who has ever been held responsible? The war was fought not to defeat communism, because we've been financing it since its inception. The war was fought to bring in the Great Society. How do we know? Because they said they did. If you haven't seen our four-tape set on Vietnam, you need to get it. It's actually a four-tape set. You get it, listen to it. We give you the sources from their material where they talk about why we had to go to war there. And it was all about a great diversion. So, and we fought a 10-year war. We could have won the war in 6 weeks. Simply by invading North Vietnam. I was told that personally by Ambassador William H. Sullivan and by four-star Marine General Lew Walt. You need to get my interview with Lew Walt. It's available. You need to get the DVD. Certainly, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Watch the buildings come down. Watch the top floors simply vaporize. This was a planned, controlled demolition. And Mr. DeMint is simply one of the victims. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. And one of the things that most people believe that isn't true is that Fidel Castro won the revolution in Cuba, and that's how he took power, and nothing could be further from the truth. Furthermore, they think that he actually fooled the American government into backing him initially, saying he wasn't a communist, where he'd really been a secret communist all the time, and that just isn't true. Fidel Castro had been recruited by the CIA, and all the evidence points in that direction, going back as far as 1948, Fidel Castro certainly went on the radio in Bogota, Colombia at that time and announced that this was a communist revolution taking place and that he was Fidel Castro. Basically, of course, the way Fidel Castro came to power in 1959 was the fact that the American State Department brought him to power. How do I know that's true? Well, because I personally interviewed Earl Smith, and you can see my interview with him on our DVD, The World Revolution. And there I interview Ambassador Smith. He will tell you he knew Fidel Castro was a communist. Earl Smith was the American ambassador to Cuba in 1959. He said the State Department knew, the CIA knew, the president knew. Everybody knew Fidel Castro was a communist except the American people. And Ambassador Smith was ordered to visit General Batista, President Batista, and tell him that he would leave Cuba the following day. And certainly President Batista realized I was getting like an offer from the mafia, an offer you couldn't refuse, and he left Cuba the next day. And we simply turned Cuba over to Fidel Castro. Why would America do that? Well, we turn the countries over to dictators and communists all throughout the world. This is what we did with Nicaragua in 1969. This is what we did with Rhodesia in 1979. We turned Rhodesia over to a communist thug named Mugabe, who's destroyed that nation. But we turned China over to the communists in 1949. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we've got the documentation there. But you see, the American people aren't supposed to realize that we've financed communism since its inception because we needed an enemy to rally the people behind the American government. Well, with us at Christmas evening is Armando Gonzalez, who is a Cuban, and he's come to America. He's one of the best informed people you'll ever find about what's going on in Cuba, but more than that, about the secret government we have. Remember, we have the apparent government, and then we have a secret government, and I call it the Brotherhood of Darkness, and it's made up of a small group of very wealthy and powerful people who have a different dream, who have no loyalty to America, who are using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government, and we are installing dictators throughout the world. David Rockefeller's daughters go down regularly to visit Fidel Castro, and Fidel comes up to visit David Rockefeller. I've been to the Council on Foreign Relations headquarters. Fidel comes to the headquarters of the CFR, and certainly to talk to the elite, as do other dictators we've installed throughout the world. So without further ado, Savander, you take over and you tell our listeners the story of what's really going on in America and the world today.
Yes, Dr. Dan, good evening. Thank you for inviting me to your program. As you mentioned in your program, everything what looks reality is actually an illusion created in a psychological warfare lab like the Stanford Research Institute or the Tavistock Institute in London.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Go right ahead, Sir Randall.
Yeah, and this institute they carefully plan psychological warfare operations against the American people. That's why I titled my recent book Psychological Warfare and the New World Order, the Secret War Against the American People. Initially, I have, as I have told you several times, initially I was working in a book. The book was going to be about the CIA. I've been studying the CIA for many years, very carefully, and I trained myself into the technology of the an intelligence analyst, because I my training is as a historian. I got a degree from the University of Havana in history, but I some years ago I realized that the methodological and research tools of the historian don't work for recent history where there is a high content of intelligence and espionage. And then an intelligence analyst and a historian are very similar type of scholars. They study the past to write a paper or a book. But in the case of the intelligence analyst, usually what the intelligence analyst produce is called an intelligence estimate. That is similar to the to what a meteorologist in meteorology they make the estimate of the weather forecast. They never say this is going to happen or this is not going to happen. They say, well, there is a high possibility for this to happen, or there is a very slow possibility to that to happen, because they don't have never all the information. They have to work with the information they have. And then have developed a very special methodology for their research. And in this methodology, they study the source of the information and the information itself. And they are studied separately, and they are given a series of numbers in the source. They say, for example, A is a totally reliable source because consistently that source have produced.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Savando Gonzalez. And certainly Savando is talking about their number of institutes here that work with intelligence agencies, such as the Tavistock Institute and other institutes, and they learn how to create our reality. The CIA has agents planted, certainly, in the media. They have their agents planted on the newspapers, in television, in radio, in publishing. And basically, of course, if you are simply want to get the truth out, the regular media, why you lose your job. This is what happened to Lou Dobbs. This is what happened to Cindy Glenn Beck. This is what's happened time and time and time again to people in the media. I'll never forget many years ago, they were talking about, must be close to 30 years ago. I was up in San Francisco with Jim Eason, who was certainly up there on KTO for many years. And in the studio, off the air and during a break, he looked at me and he said, "Stan, if I really said on this radio station what I really believed, I would be fired tomorrow." And then we went back on the air, and he said to the audience, "And if anybody ever told me what to say on this station, I'd walk out of here tomorrow." And he looked over at me and grinned and winked at me. That's the way it really works. Now, Jim did a great job. He stayed in there for close to 25 years or more, and he got a lot of good information out. But he can never tell the people the full truth. Why? Because he would have been promptly fired. And if you are in the media and you tell the truth, really, why you're going to lose your job? So anyway, Cervantes is simply saying that they control our reality, and they have institutes, and that's what they do. How do we manipulate the stupid American public? Go right ahead, Savando.
Yeah, and I was talking about this system that the the intelligence agencies have developed to deal with the some information. Now, we use the word intelligence. You know, the president was shown some intelligence about Iran, intelligence. So, what is intelligence? In the field of intelligence and espionage, intelligence is very simple. It's just information that has been evaluated. Okay? And then everything you get is information. But if that information is true, is misinformation, or is disinformation, so you have to evaluate that information, to analyze that information. And the CIA have developed a system. The one I learned was the system used by the CIA, but I guess that the MI6, the Mossad, the KGB, they have similar system of evaluation of information to produce intelligence. In the CIA, it's a system where you evaluate the source of the information and the information itself. The source of information you categorize in five levels, A, B, C, D, E. So A is a totally reliable source because never that source has failed. When that source says this is it, always happens. So it's true. So and then you have found that information that is found through other very similar reliable sources. So B is most of the time is reliable. C is fairly reliable. D not very reliable, and E is totally unreliable. Now, the information itself we call a totally true information is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Totally true information is 1. How you know that it's totally true? Because another sources have brought the same information, and the information is true. But there is a always there is a way the guide to see if some information is true. If that information matches with previous similar information. Okay, so totally true, 2 probably true, 3 maybe true, 4 well most likely not true, and 5 untrue. So we have, and then say an information brought by a totally reliable source that matches with previous information is an A1. Okay? Now, information from an unreliable source that most likely that doesn't match with previous information or other sources is a 4, C4. So it's totally unreliable. Now, you were mentioning in the previous program, at the end you were mentioning the 9/11 event. In my book, Psychological Warfare and the New World Order, at the end there is an appendix where I make an analysis, and I think this is unique because other people have the engineers, an architect for 9/11, they have checked several features of the buildings and physics and but this is I have used the system that any intelligence agency in the world would have used to say, well, is this true or this isn't true? Now, question is, source. Who is the only source of what happened the 9/11/2001? There's only one source, okay? The U.S. government. Now, I ask you, Dr. Rostan, do you think that the U.S. government is the reliable source?
Absolutely not. They put on a special. They would not allow an independent congressional investigation. They had the 9/11 Truth Committee, and of course, basically, it was made up of Thomas Keene from the Council on Foreign Relations and Lee Hamilton from the Trilateral Commission, and half the people there came from the Council on Foreign Relations. The whole purpose of 9/11 Commission was not to reveal what happened, but to conceal happened.
So let me ask you, in a scale from 1 A to A, B, C, D, E, A, totally reliable source, the source of information is totally reliable, and D is totally unreliable, how would you grade the U.S. government?
Totally unreliable. But wait, you see, it's not the government, Mr. Vando. It is the people who've taken control of the government.
Yeah,
and we have to differentiate this small clique that seized control and the government itself. We have an apparent government, and then we have a secret or hidden government. And they're the people that are lying.
Absolutely. Now let's see the information itself. The information that was given to us was that some planes crashed against the two towers as the result of the fuel of the planes. They got fire, and that melted the iron, the steel structure of the buildings, and the two buildings collapsed. But they collapsed in their own footprint, like in a controlled demolition. Now, before 9/11, no building with a steel structure in the world had collapsed in its own footprint as a result of fire. During the Second World War, there is a big plane, a two-motor, that was coming from LaGuardia Airport in the fog and crashed against the Empire State Building. And people two floors up and two floors down, they didn't hear the impact. Nothing happened. Okay? They didn't shake the building. Now, these buildings were built to withstand an accident with a big plane. So, no building with buildings have collapsed, with a steel structure have collapsed as a result of earthquakes, but they don't collapse vertically on its own footprint. They drop to a side, drop to another side, and that's why there are some companies that they make a controlled demolition, and they charge millions for a controlled demolition because it's a very sophisticated technique. Now, and so according to any intelligence agency in the world, the Mossad, the MI6, the KGB, would say, well, this information that the United States is bringing doesn't look real. That doesn't look that it's true. Now, but we have as a historian, because intelligence analysts, they work with the present and the past to produce an estimate that what is going to happen. Okay? But historians, we work with the past. So and then we have the advantage that we can ask, well, this has never happened before 9/11. No building with a steel structure has collapsed on its own footprint as a result of fires, but the 9/11 event happened more than 10 years ago.
Well, I think it's important, Savannah, for people to realize that a thousand American bodies vaporized, and most of what was in those buildings vaporized. And they found really no intact or even squashed computers or telephones, everything vaporized. But even that, watch the buildings come down, notice that the top of the South Tower, probably 20, 25 stories, simply vaporizes and disappears before the rest of the building come down. How did they vaporize the top part, top 20 stories of the South Tower? Watch it come down. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464 if you have a question or comment. Our guest, Armando Gonzalez, will be talking about his book, Psychological Warfare and the Battle and the New World Order. Armando, go right ahead.
Yeah.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are in hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that XNT. Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's propax.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Dates is the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, this small group and only a few thousand elitists, but people of great wealth who are always in key positions in government. Certainly, it is not simply by accident that of the 80 members of the Trilateral Commission, never more than that at any one time, that five of the last six vice presidents of the United States, but those between 1977 and the year 2008, five of the six vice presidents came from the membership roles of the Council on Foreign Relations, and every president and or vice president of the United States came from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission, and six of the eight presidents of the World Bank and 8 of the 10 World Trade Representatives and 7 of the 12 Secretaries of State and 9 of the 12 Assistant Secretaries of Defense all came from the membership roles of this trilateral commission. How could that have happened by accident? It didn't. In fact, if you look and see what's happening in Europe, why the recently appointed president of Greece, a man named Papademos, of course, came from the European branch of the Trilateral Commission. Mario Monti, the newly appointed premier of Italy, came from the membership roles of the European branch of the Trilateral Commission. You have a little group of people who've run the world, and nobody's going to tell you, and if they try to, why it could cost them their lives. I'm not joking, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about vicious people who assassinate presidents and presidential candidates. They assassinated Bobby Kennedy, who is running for president. I interviewed Chuck Tatum. His job was to kill Ross Perot. You remember when Ross Perot dropped out of the race because he said that he and his family had been threatened? Well, Chip Tatum was the man who was supposed to kill him, and he wouldn't do that. And shortly after I interviewed him, why, of course, Chip Tatum disappeared, never to be seen again. If you want to hear the interview, it's in our 4 CD set on Deadly Assassins. I'm not talking about make-believe. I'm talking about real. We actually have an interview in that 4 CD set with a gentleman who tracked down the man who was paid to kill General George Patton. They couldn't let Patton come home and let the American people know he could have ended the war a year earlier. And he wanted to win the war. That's why they cut off his gasoline, so he couldn't move and strike and get to Berlin before the communists did. And they ordered the death of George Patton. This is what we're really up against. Go ahead, Savannah.
Yeah, when I say that there is a secret government, and it is not in Washington, D.C., but in Manhattan and the council at the Harold Pratt House, the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations, that the membership is composed of the Council on Foreign Relations, composed of oil magnates like the Rockefellers, bankers, Wall Street bankers, and CEOs of transnational corporations. And don't trust me. Now they are so arrogant that they are saying it openly. I remember that in 2009, the National Security Advisor, Major General James Jones, he was in Munich in a conference, and he told the public, say, I take my daily orders from Dr. Kissinger, filtered down through General Ben Brent Scowcroft and Sandy Berger. So all these people are Council of Foreign Relations members. So he takes his orders from people in the Council on Foreign Relations.
And, of course, General James Jones was actually the National Security Director for Barack Obama. And he was a member of the Trilateral Commission himself. But you can actually get that quotation that Savannah just used. Go up on your internet and write down, General James Jones on your search engine, General James Jones, orders from Henry Kissinger, and you'll find that that's accurate. He actually publicly stated, I take my orders every day from Henry Kissinger, but Barack Obama is a Democrat, and Henry Kissinger is a Republican. Ladies and gentlemen, do you really think there's a dime's worth of difference between the leadership of the Democrat and Republican Party? If you do, why, you're incredibly naive. Go right ahead. Savannah, once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295.
And that same year, in 2009, Hillary Clinton was giving a speech at the new CFR headquarters in Washington, D.C.
Hold that thought, Savannah. We'll get you back in just a moment.
To a land that's free.
Right ahead, Sir Randall.
Yeah, I was mentioning that that same year in July 2009, Hillary Clinton, she was giving a speech at the inauguration of the new headquarters, the new CFR headquarters in Washington, D.C. And then she said, well, I'm delighted here with this new headquarters. And then it's good to have an outpost of the counselor here so close to the State Department. And we get a lot, here in front of me, we get a lot of advice from the council. So this would mean, listen to this, I won't need to go that far to be told how we should be doing and what we should think about the future. That she say. So a group of unelected people in Manhattan is the one who tells the Secretary of State of the United States what to do and what she should think about the future. So it cannot be more clear. So we have a secret government of the United States, and that secret government resides in the Harold Pratt House in Manhattan. That is the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations. And this organization has been behind our back, have been controlling this country over and over. They are the one who tapped the presidents, and when the president has been tapped, selected, then we create this fiction called a presidential election, and people to make the people believe that they are the ones who have elected the president. The president, there is a, initially, they tap the president in this very secret, weird place in Northern California. What's its name? The Bohemian Grove. And I've seen a picture that is somebody giving a speech, and on the right is a Ronald Reagan, and on the left is a Richard Nixon. Oh, what a coincidence. Both of them later were
hold that thought, hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Savannah Gonzalez. He was just saying he's seen a picture of somebody speaking at the Bohemian Grove, and there in the background, both Ronald Reagan and certainly Richard Nixon. No, this is an occult center. If you get the material from the Bohemian Grove, which we have, they talk about how they revere the owl. How they revere the owl. What are they talking about? What's the owl? Well, the owl, of course, is a statue of Moloch. This is it refers to Lucifer. They know exactly what they're doing. This organization's been around for 100 years, and some of the most powerful men in our country are involved with it. Certainly, the Bohemian Grove has a great deal of homosexuality and pedophilia, and criminal activity takes place there. And if you doubt that, we have a great 4-tape set with people who have actually been in the Bohemian Grove there and seen firsthand what goes on. That's the 4-tape set on the Bohemian Grove. And if you want to get the material on, where they talk about how they revere the owl, we have it. Yeah. Go right ahead, Cervantes.
Close to the city of Monterio in Northern California. Now, when they became more internationalist, they passed that function to international organization, the function of selecting or tapping the would-be American president to international organizations like the Trilateral and most recently the Bilderberg Group. And in one of these meetings, and also the World Economic Forum, that is this yearly meeting, in Davos, Switzerland. And that was where Hillary Clinton was tapped and was told, you will be the next president of the United States. And it is so true that even though Obama was taking more and more and more force, she never conceded. Even when everything seemed lost, she never conceded the failure to the point, this is very good, that she say, why you don't accept that Obama is the one saying, say, well, Robert Kennedy was assassinated. She said that. Now, during the campaign, something funny happened. Suddenly, the Bilderberg Group had an unscheduled urgent meeting in Chantilly, Virginia, in a hotel in Chantilly, Virginia. That hotel is not far from Dulles Airport.
When was this meeting, Savannah?
Oh, that was during the campaign. I don't know exactly.
Which campaign, though? Was this
the electoral campaign that was Hillary and Obama campaigning.
Fine. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, and something funny happened one day. This meeting came, it was a weekend. And then, I think it was a Saturday, the journalists were accompanying Obama in his campaign. They put all in the plane. The plane took off. But where is Obama? There were some guys. Obama disappeared. And exactly the same happened to Hillary Clinton's campaign plane. All the press was there. The plane took off, but with a killer. And there is no proof. There are no photographs about that. But there are strong suspicions. And even somebody that blew the whistle that both Obama and Hillary went to the meeting. And in that meeting, these people told Hillary, well, we told you that you were, but now there is a change in plans. This is the guy who's going to be the president. And she had to bite the bullet and accept it. Now, probably they told her about her important role as the Secretary of State, and probably she's now a little more happy, but she was very, very, very upset. And see the power that these people have, because it's not only that they have money, it's that they have money and power. And that power is incredible because do you remember the richest man in America, Bill Gates? Bill Gates was just his only goal in life was writing bad software and making money. But suddenly, something weird happened. They threatened him to cut Microsoft in several parts and destroy Microsoft. And he was scared. And then suddenly, Bill Gates, who never before cared about politics or was involved in politics, suddenly he saw the writing in the wall. He quit Microsoft and created his Gates, Melinda, and Bill Gates Foundation, and he joined the Council on Foreign Relations. And suddenly, Bill Gates had become a virulent eugenicist. The true goal of the Bill Gates Foundation is eugenics, is killing people in the Third World, killing children in Africa and in Latin America, and this is his goal.
No, I think, Savannah, you have to explain that Bill Gates is dedicated to population control, and of course he's killing them, certainly in other countries, with his massive vaccination program, which actually sterilizes them, so after about three generations, they will not be able to have children. They know, certainly, that the vaccines alter fertility, and after a couple of generations, fertility just doesn't exist or hardly exists at all. That, of course, is what Bill Gates is really doing, taking part in this program to depopulate the Earth. He's even said the vaccine program will help with the program of population control. He's tried to divert us from what he really means. But, of course, he is part of a genocidal program taking place to markedly limit the population of the world. Go right ahead, Servando, and if you're out there in the audience, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. You have a question, but go ahead, Savannah.
Yeah, because they probably the first time that most of the American people heard for the first time mentioned the word New World Order was in a speech given by Bush the first. And then after that, he almost in every single speech, he mentioned the New World Order. And this is going to be a new order from peace, prosperity for everybody, and will be a marvelous thing coming. Well, we are seeing the New World Order now very close, and things are not so nice as they predicted. Well, but the American left is stuck in an old paradigm that they say, well, everything, the military-industrial complex and everything is greed and oil for money, and that's it. Well, that is an old paradigm. These people, they don't need more money. When you have $10 billion, $1 billion more or less, it's not very important. Now money now is zeros and ones in a computer memory. Doesn't make any sense anymore. So they don't need any money. And they went back to an old idea that these people have, that the planet is overpopulated. There are too many people in this planet. And this overpopulation in the planet, we, the masses who live in this planet, we are consuming the natural resources of this planet that by law belong to them. Or that's what they think. And they have decided that they need to kill at least 85% of the population in this country. That is several billion of people they want to kill. Okay? And then, so, the two main goals of the New World Order is one is depopulation, and then the other one is deindustrialization. So, they want to reduce the population of the planet in 85%, and once this is done, they are going to reduce the survivors, that is you and me and our listeners, to pre-industrial levels of consumption. That is medieval serf.
So and that, of course, is what Agenda 21 is all
about.
Agenda 21 is a planned program to actually lower living standards, and Chris, this is why they are intensively doing everything they can to drive our industries offshore, to drive our manufacturing offshore, to drive our jobs offshore so they can lower living standards in America as they've raised living standards throughout the rest of the world. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know. If you have any questions, you want documentation, read the material on Agenda 21 and on ICLEI, and because we have a great deal of that available through Radio Liberty. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. Go right ahead, Savannah.
Yeah, and understand, this is very interesting. Some months ago, I was reading the comments in a website. I don't remember exactly which one. And the author was mentioning the one of the goals is killing 85% of the population. And one of the persons who get into the site and put a comment say, "Oh, this is not true, because they need us as consumers. How are they going to kill us if they need consumers? That doesn't make any sense." And then came to my mind something very interesting. Exactly. During the initial days of Nazi Germany, the Jews were disappearing, and they were taking the Jews to some camps, and they disappeared. Nobody knew what happened to them. And then some people began telling, well, they are killing the Jews. Some Jews say, even one escaped from a shooting and came to a group. No, they didn't believe. And they say, well, how they are going to kill us? Because they need us as slave workers. they are not going to kill us. And it's exactly the same wrong conclusion. They were killing the Jews, and these people want to kill us. They don't need consumers anymore. They don't need us anymore. And this is the tragic reality. And that is why we are in a very difficult situation in the United States, and I would say in the world, like never before. What is at stake in this election is not if the Republicans or the Democrats or the conservatives or the liberals take power in Washington, because these people have never have any power. The politicians have been bowled like pigs in a fair. They don't represent us anymore. They represent the special interests, the Wall Street bankers, the corporations who give the money for their tax and their campaigns. They don't care about the people anymore. So what is at stake in this election is the very survival of this country. And then you have this debate that I don't watch, because I told you that I stopped watching TV almost 20 years ago, and I'm very happy now. My reasoning is that I prefer to be non-informed than disinformed. And then I stopped watching TV. I don't watch TV, but what I read in the internet and what I see is that this debate has been a total disaster, a tragic hoax, and nobody cares. So any of these politicians that if they elect, you remember that Bush won was so bad that people say, oh, anybody but Bush, and they elected Clinton. Then Clinton was so bad that the reasoning was, well, anybody but Clinton, and they elected Bush too, and Bush too was so bad that people reasoned, oh, anybody but Bush, and then we have Obama, and now anybody but Obama, and then the one who is coming is going to be worse than Obama, for the only reason that he will come after Obama, and every single president is going to be worse. He said down to a black hole where they are sending this country.
Savannah, we're getting to the end of the program. I would like you to go ahead and get your website out. I'd like you to tell people how they can get your book on psychological warfare and the New World Order.
Yes, Dr. Stan. The title of my book is Psychological Warfare and the New World Order, The Secret War Against the American People. You can buy the book through my website, www.servandogonzalez.org. Servando, S-E-R-V, like in Victory, A-N-D-O, Gonzalez, G-O-N-Z-A-L-E-Z, Gonzalez, N-D-T, .org. You can buy the book in Amazon. You can buy the book in Dr. Stan's Radio Liberty site and in many places. And it's a Conspiracy Theory 101. It's a very good book to put up to speed in what is going on in the United States and in the world. I think that my book and Dr. Stan's are because when one ends, the other one begins, because we have chosen different areas of investigation. And so we need to read about this and be informed. That is our main weapon now, through information to know what is really going on. Because I always mention this book by this Chinese general Sun Tzu, written 300 years BC, The Art of War, that he say only who knows who is the enemy can win all the battles. And most people here in the United States don't know who is the true enemy of America. That is not in Moscow, it's not in China, it is in Wall Street, in Manhattan.
All right, there's a quotation from Sun Tzu is, to fight and conquer in all of your battles is not supreme excellence. Supreme excellence is to win your battles without fighting.
Yeah.
To fight and win your battles in war is not supreme excellence. Supreme excellence is winning the battle without fighting. And they've defeated the American people. They control the reality. Very few Americans really understand what's going on. Savannah's book is excellent. You can get it through him or through Radio Liberty, Psychological Warfare and the New World Order. We'll be back in just a moment.
So thank you.
Savannah, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. You go right ahead.
Yes, Dr. Sand, just to...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands
of darkness. You need to hear my interview with Earl Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba in 1959. It's called The World Revolution, where he'll tell you that they knew Fidel Castro was a communist. They intentionally brought him to power, knowing he was a communist, and Ambassador Smith was ordered to go to President Batista and tell him he would leave Cuba the next day. Why did they want that? Well, because they wanted a city to have an enemy 90 miles off the Florida Keys, and they could point to him, he is the enemy. But, of course, he's always been certainly an American agent. This is why David Rockefeller's daughters go down to visit Fidel, and why Fidel comes up to visit David Rockefeller's, and you doubt that. You need to get David Rockefeller's memoirs. We carry it. Memoirs by David Rockefeller. You want to understand how it all fits together? You need to get Barry Goldwater's book, With No Apologies. We have secondhand copies. We're on page 280 of why Barry Goldwater says, you know, the Council on Foreign Relations is domestic, but the David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission is international. Its goal is to control the financial and commercial interests by first seizing control of the government of the United States. They've done that. They make mockery out of the electoral process. Certainly, there's only about 80 members of the Trilateral Commission. 12 of them were certainly in the highest positions in the Obama administration, as they've been in the Bush administration and the Clinton administration and the first Bush administration. And yes, even Ronald Reagan, the great Ronald Reagan, invited the members of the Trilateral Commission to the White House for dinner. And you can get that to verify what I'm saying by reading David Rockefeller's book, Memoirs. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. To see how it fits together, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Listen to my talk on DVD, The Dark Secret, and the one on The Forbidden Secret, and get the syllabuses that go with that. So you can actually, of course, read what George Bush said about when our founders declared a new order of the ages. They were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What is the ancient hope? Why is the Novus Ordoris Seclorum inscribed on the back of the dollar bill, underneath the occult satanic emblem, the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye of Lucifer? That is the ancient hope of the, it's been around for thousands of years, to bring about a world government, and that's why we have our troops stationed in the 130 nations. That's why we have 800 to 900 military bases throughout the world. That, of course, is why we actually have installed dictators in countries throughout the world. And if you don't believe that, you need to get John Perkins' excellent book from Radio Liberty, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and my 4 interviews with John Perkins on the Economic Hitman. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. But behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces, which nobody wants to talk about. There is a supernatural world out there. There really are people who worship a different God. And they tie into all of these groups, Trilateral Commission, CFR, Bilderbergers, Club of Rome, a Royal Institute for International Affairs, the Masons, the Theosophists, the Rosicrucians, and right down the line, you need to get the information, and then you need to join us in this epic struggle for the survival of Christian civilization and the souls of men. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. If you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family, we'd love to have you. And if not, please pray for Alex Jones and Joyce Riley and Ron Paul, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us today. It is the 28th of February, 2012. You're in the right place. Well, things are happening. That's right. There's a new movement afloat. A new movement of minds and hearts that we will talk about today. Probably won't be very popular to talk about. That is among those that wish to control us. but it's an amazing movement. It's starting in Greece, and it's moving this way. We're going to be talking about the I Don't Pay.